Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Maya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, where we serve architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals scale their business to six or seven figures. I also show them how it's possible to do this while living a rich life outside their work, reclaiming time and energy for themselves and their families. Creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run and grow a business. Each podcast episode features a different entrepreneur from the creative industry who shares their journey towards success. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from hearing, stick around to the end of the show to see how you could be a guest in one of our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Architect My Life podcast, where we interview creative entrepreneurs on their journey. I'm your host, Betty Quimby. And today we have I have Aya Schlachter, the founder of Architect My Life, to introduce our guest today. So, Aya.
So, hi, Graciela, and welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Aya. Hi, Betty.
It's an honor to have Graciela here. We all know she's very busy, but thank you for your time. And I want to congratulate you on your new job. You started a new job in Naso Buses.
Yes.
Like a month ago or so.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow. But most importantly, I mean, I also want to commend Graciela for staying in her previous firm for almost 18 years. And that's really very admirable. So, you know, congratulations on all your success and future success in the new firm. And so I also wanted to introduce Graciela as successful as she is in her career life. She's equally successful in her volunteer life. Okay, let me explain what she does, and I have to read it. So she's been doing a lot of volunteer work, which led to a lot of leadership positions in a national level. So right now, Graciela is the American Institute of Architects Long Island president.
Yes.
And then she's also the chapter Women in Architects, Architecture founder and co-chair for Long Island chapter. She also served in 2017 and 18 as the New York Regional Director for Young Architect Forum. And also the co-founder of Immigrant Architects Coalition and a recipient of the AIA New York Young Architects Award. And recently, she launched and founded Powerful Speeches, a platform and an effort to champion women architects to promote, advance, and elevate women in our profession. So I want Graciela to talk because I just want to hear about her journey.
Thank you, Aya, so much for having me. I'm very excited to share my story with the audience, and I'm very honored that you invited me to host this.
Well, I'm so excited to hear all your accomplishments because this is a new field for me. So I had to look up what AIA was and WIA. I had to look everything up. So I'm so happy to have you. My first question for you, you're such a successful leader in the profession. Who inspired you when you were a child? And, you know, how did you find the courage? What were you like as a child? So, you know, who inspired you and what were you like as a child?
Well, that's an interesting question. Me as a child, I grew up in a family of civil engineers. My dad and my two brothers are civil engineers, but my two brothers were much, much older than me, 16 years and 11 years apart from me. So I basically grew up as a single daughter because I didn't have anybody else to play with. But I grew up in that environment of like design and construction and structures. So I was always very curious about that topic and that environment. And when I was a little girl, like I'm picturing like 5 years old, I used to just create these scenarios at home, just playing by myself, of course, because I don't have any siblings my age. and creating these spaces that I'm running this office and I'm this executive, you know, like I, with the whole paperwork and everything. So I think that it's really what triggered my love for construction and design. But at the end, when it was time to enjoy, I mean, to join a college or university, I changed. I was like, no, you know what? I'm not going to go for civil engineer. I'll go for architecture, because I realized I was very creative. You know, I was always very resourceful. So I went for architecture. And at that time, when I was 11 years old, my dad passed away. And then when I was 17 years old, my oldest brother passed away. And then my second brother was not living in Colombia. He was in the States already. So I was really by myself with my mom when I started school. So she really was like my inspiration, like all my life, because she was there since I was little, like, you know, supporting me and encouraging me to be independent. Like, you gotta work hard. You gotta be independent woman. You know, you gotta be self-sufficient. So, and now that I look at her, she is an 84-year-old lady that is on Zoom meetings all the time, on Facebook all the time, goes to the gym every day, like super, like she loves technology. She has to have the latest iPhone, iPad, everything. So she really inspires me to go further than what I can. So I would, to your question, my inspiration has been my mom all my life.
Wow. That is amazing. I was like expecting some like major architect in the field, but that is so awesome that you're a powerful woman and that you look, you know, you looked up to your mother all that time. And being an immigrant too, I was wondering how did you end up in the US and how did you find the courage to move to the US from Colombia?
Yeah, so that's another interesting story. So again, I graduated from high school. I went to a German school in Colombia. So my brother was already living here because he was born in the States. That's another story. My father came to the States for a master's degree in engineering. So he was born here. So he was living here and he's like, okay, you finish high school, come study in the States. Come with me. And I was like, no, I got to do my own thing. Like I was super rebel all the time. I got to do my own thing. I'm going to go for architectural school here. Once I graduate, we can talk again. So I graduated from architectural school and he's like, all right, you graduated now. Now come here and work. I'm like, no, I got to find a job here by myself. Like I didn't want people to, you know, to find my path, or it's not that I didn't want people to help me. I just wanted to prove myself that I could do it by myself. So I stayed in Colombia for a while working for engineers, because of course, even though I was an architect, I loved engineering. So I found a job. My first job was with an engineering firm. And then I went to work for the government. And I worked for the government for maybe 3 years, coordinating projects, infrastructure projects of the city, the capital city, Bogota. And unfortunately, at that time, things in Colombia weren't doing very good for safety issues. I literally had to leave the country. So then when I knew that I had to leave, then I called my brother like, can you help me? I need to leave the country. Just help me out with interviews. And so he found a couple of interviews for me, and that's how I ended up coming to the States. But my mom was already living here because, of course, he grabbed her. So they are in Florida. So that's another part of the story. When I came here and I applied for the job, at the interview, the president of the company, which is the one that I work for 18 years, he said, so we have offices in Miami. Would you like to work there? Because your brother is there. My brother was working for that company at that time. And I said, no, I'm not going to Miami. I want to stay in New York. I want to live here. So he couldn't understand, like, but her family is there. Why she wants to move here? And I was like, no, I want to do it, you know, my own thing, like always. So that's what really triggered my trip here. And I think it was the best decision I could have made, because I think that the person that I am right now, that would not have been possible if I stay in Colombia. Maybe it would be another Graciela, but not to the level that I am right here. And I'm very grateful for that.
Wow, that is such a story. I'm happy to hear that you ended up here after all of that, but you did it on your own terms. So that's amazing. Tell us more about the Immigrant Architects Coalition. What is that organization?
So that group was created in 2019. So the story of this group is my friend and colleague, Yu Englok, I can't ever pronounce his name. He's in California. He's a fellow. He was just elevated to AIA fellow, which is the highest rank in the AIA. He invited me in 2019 to be part of a panel discussion for the national conference in Vegas. And of course, I said, yes, like it's the first time I'm going to be in a national conference, you know, speaking. This is so exciting. I'll do it. And the name of the session was How Immigrant Architects Prosper in U.S. And he invited another colleague, Shaha Haddad. She's an associate architect in Dallas. So the three of us were giving that lecture in Vegas. And we had an amazing turnout. A lot of people show up, and they were, I would say, 90% immigrants. And the session, you know, when you have those lectures that the lecture ends and everybody leaves, you know, like they probably make a few questions and then they leave. Well, this one, we ended the session and everybody came to the stage, and they were literally making a line because they wanted to talk to us and they wanted to keep sharing more experiences. We had a 20-minute period at the end where we let them speak and share their experiences, and they were just talking and talking. So anyway, we found out that there was a need of a support group. We said, but look at this, look at the feedback we got. Everybody was so in need of support, and they had so many questions, and they were struggling so much that the three of us realized, you know what, we need to do something. This cannot be just a lecture that we're giving. And by the way, we spoke at the conference in Oklahoma and also Virginia. So Richmond. So we've been like giving this lecture at different conventions. And this year we are also doing Oklahoma again, and I forgot what else we're going to do. But the point was that we created then the coalition, but then we realized, okay, so there is really need of help. Like they need help. People, when we came here, specifically when I came here, I had a lot of struggles. I had to overcome a lot of obstacles. And at that time, really nobody helped me. I had to find my way on my own. I made a lot of mistakes, but I learned from that. So I was like, listen, I did such a mess when I came here. Like I went through so much that I want to be able to help people and avoid them, like make them successful and don't let them go through all those obstacles that I had to overcome. So we started preparing these guidelines, and the guidelines are going to be about different topics, immigration, how to find a job here, how to validate your degree, how to apply for license, cultural bias. It has different topics that we identify immigrants need always advice. So from that first session, we recruited a few of them, and they are helping us out to write these guidelines. We are still in the process of writing them. And our goal is to, once we have them finished, edited, you know, which that takes a while, what we want to do is go to AIA chapters and present these to national and say, hey, this is this guideline. When you have immigrants coming to your chapter, give them these guidelines and tell them to contact us if they need to. We are here for support. So ultimately, that's the end goal.
Graciela, this is really amazing because I also came here as I was a student, but I didn't have support. And it's so nice that there are finally guidelines. I mean, after 20 years, it's so hard. But where can people find you right now if they need support right now?
So we have a website that I will add to this podcast. We'll write down the link. But also on LinkedIn, people can find me. I will put also my link there, or on Facebook. Actually, a few months ago, since last year, actually, people just contact me out of the blue. And what I've been doing is on the weekends, I schedule calls with them. They are all immigrants. So I schedule 2 or 3 calls over the weekend. We have a 1-hour chat. I'll guide them a little bit. And then if they need more help, they'll contact me again. So I'm always so open to help people. So yeah, definitely contact me through any of those channels, me or my other colleagues, Ju or Shaha.
Wow. Thank you so much, Graciela. That's really, that's really what people need, especially for the immigrants. It's hard to even get a job and to stay here in this country. It's also a different animal. But speaking of jobs, I'm an employer and most of our audience here are employers as well. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. Since you've been working in cash-in for like 18 years, what advice would you give to employers who have problems retaining their employees? Your maybe two advice. What top two?
Well, the top one for me is firm culture. Because right now anybody can retain people, but the goal here is to retain people and keep those people, because if there is not a good workplace, 2 months later they leave. So to me, it's very important, firm culture, mentoring. Is very important, especially for immigrants. They come with great skills, a lot of knowledge, a different culture. So diversity is very important, but they definitely need mentoring.
Yeah,
because it's difficult for someone to adjust and to. Not only to adjust to the workplace, but also to the new culture.
Wow, that's powerful.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Yeah, thanks.
This is like
everyone should do that.
Yes, do that.
Especially now that everyone's remote, it's really hard to build firm culture when people are not working at the same place yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So firm culture, mentoring, diversity, these are all great things. And speaking of which, you've already told us so much about your like how you got here, and you're such an established influential leader within the architect field and women in architect. What motivated you to take these leadership roles? Was it just because you wanted to help people? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, definitely, because I wanted to help people. I always felt at the beginning of my career when I moved here that I really didn't have that support group. And that's why I joined AIA, because the company that I work for was basically engineers, 99%. So I was like, I need to meet more architects. Like, I don't really have, because I needed to go through the ARE, through the licensing process, I definitely needed that support. So I joined AIA. And then again, because of that support that I was looking for, I realized, well, there is not really that group in Long Island. There was no emerging professionals committee. So I created that with Jacob, which is the past president too. And then we created that group to help the young generation. Because emerging professionals are not only the newly licensed, but also the newly graduates and also students. That's the whole, once you get your license, you have 10 years and you are still called an emerging professional. So that's what an emerging professional is. So we created that committee and then we started developing networking sessions, happy hours, mentoring, lectures. So that was amazing. That group is still doing really, really good. I'm very proud of them.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then the Women in Architecture was for the same exact reason. My chapter is mainly men. We have about 680 members, and from those, we have 110 women. So when I used to go to the monthly meetings, I would see maybe two, three women attending, and I'm like, but where is the rest? Like, I never see women here. Where are they? So I got a scholarship in 2018 to attend the Women Leadership Summit, which is a huge event. At that time, we were 450 women in a room, all architects and designers. And that was very powerful for me. It made a lot of impact. And it made me realize that that support group is definitely needed and it helps a lot. So I came back to Long Island, and that's when I co-founded with Ebru Sulker, the committee, the Women in Architecture Committee, which the logo is right here.
So Betty Jean, side story, I met Graciela through the Women in Architecture, like one of the events, and I had no idea that the Long Island chapter does not have a lot of women. I'm just saying this because your chapter is so active and you have probably the most number of events, you know, organized last year, like almost every week you have an event. So that's amazing. And she's the chapter president, not only for the Women in Architecture, but she leads all 600 men.
Oh my gosh. That is so awesome. Like women power.
It is definitely. And we created this committee, and it feels so good to know that you are there for anything. It's completely safe. I'm not saying that it's not safe to be surrounded with your male counterparts, but it's a different perspective, you know? Yeah. Sometimes you're sharing topics that it's better just to share with your other women, and we definitely push each other a lot. We help a lot, from a work perspective and also from a life balance perspective, like work-life balance. And I found that group, we have developed a really, really nice relationship between all of us. So every time we try to bring more, you know, so that way. And we have been now teaming up with other women in architecture committees around the states. So it's like little groups growing and growing.
Yes, you're paving the way. You're paving the way.
Graciela helped me into this group. I met her, and then I met Ebru, and I met, you know, the rest of the team. I mean, the group people are very supportive. So thank you for bringing me and introducing me. I did a talk last year, Women Architect My Life, Architect My Freedom, in December, and at the Women in Architecture. So thanks, Graciela.
That was great. I love that lecture.
Thank you.
That is so cool.
Gotta do it again.
Speaking of women, talking about being a woman leader in an architect field, what has been one of your biggest challenges or obstacles working for a firm as a woman? And how did you overcome these challenges?
Yeah, at the beginning, and I don't encounter that anymore. But at the beginning, of course, because I was new, you know, I was an immigrant. My English was not even close to what it is right now. It was very hard to be included in the conversation, especially when you work for a company of engineers and all male. So going to construction sites and like running progress meetings with the contractor, you know, the architect, the consultant, it was difficult. But I always acted very professional, You know, I was very like to the point, never rude, very nice always, and just showing that I knew my thing. Like the most important for me, and this is what I tell others, just know what you have to do. Be prepared. Don't go to a meeting and try to improvise. Just research, you know, if you're not ready, do some research, even get to know the people before you even go to the meeting. Every time I had to go and visit a new client or a new consultant or whatever, I would Google that person's name and I would just like to know a little bit about them just to be prepared to handle a conversation.
Absolutely.
So I think that was something that I learned over the years. And I think that was pretty much what I struggled with, just to have a voice. But I found my way of doing that by just educating myself and preparing myself for topics and discussions so people can take you seriously.
Yes, absolutely. Even with interviewing people, you know, I frequently look at your LinkedIn and see what you're all about. And then I was like, oh my gosh, she's the president of the architect, you know,
AIA.
The AIA. Yeah. American Institute of Architects. Sorry, I didn't have it on the tip of my tongue, but I wanted to know that because that is such an accomplishment and that's huge. It means you know how to not only do architecture, but also manage a whole chapter in Long Island of all these people who are in your field. So that's very impressive.
Can I add yes, something? Please. Since you mentioned that, also an interesting topic that my chapter is about, I would say maybe 72 years old. Before me, there was only two women that were presidents. And the last one was 16 years ago. Wow. And I'm the first Latina to be president.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
So, yeah,
I have goosebumps right now, Graciela.
when we did the installation meeting last year, yeah. I had to say that to my members. I said, I'm the first Latina that you have as a president. And they were very happy. They were really happy because they know that I'm very proud of that.
I'm not Latina, but I'm really happy too because people think I'm Latina.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. We're running close to time, and I know you have so much to share, but I did want to wrap up a little bit, especially because we want to hear more about powerful speeches. Tell us about what is powerful speeches.
Powerful speeches is my latest project that I'm working on, and that was created last year during the middle of COVID, that everybody was stuck in their homes. And I'm seeing all these amazing women in architecture events around the nation. And I'm having like anxiety. I'm like, oh my God, so much stuff is going on out there. How can I schedule them? Like, it's so much going on. So in my mind, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to create a website. And I'm thinking just for myself. I'm just going to put together a calendar where I start putting all the events that I see. And then I will just have them there so I can choose which one I can attend, you know? Nice. And then I realized, but wait a minute. If I love this idea so much, maybe other women will like it too. So I realized, okay, let's build this platform. And I have a really big network of women in architecture committees, like all the states pretty much. So I sent an email out there when I put that together, that website, like in 3 hours watching TV on a Sunday. And I said, listen, I put this website together for events. I put all the events that I have seen so far. If you have more events, send them to me and I will be happy to put them up. And the feedback that I got was amazing. They were like, oh my God, this is a brilliant idea. This is going to save us so much, because I guess they were struggling too. Yeah. Like, what do we do? So it started just with events, but then I realized, okay, we can put more stuff. Like then I added a page for podcasts that are hosted by women, like this one here.
Yes.
So I have about, I believe maybe 30 right now that are all hosted by women in design. And then I added another page for resources for women in architecture and design. So it's a bunch of other organizations and websites that provide support and empowerment to women in the business. And I am I also created with Diane Leeson, which is an architect from Washington, D.C., another page for a salary survey. We're working on a salary survey of women in architecture and design because we want to start talking about how much do we get and how can we advocate, you know, because we can't advocate for ourselves if we don't know what's going around us. So we decided, okay, let's do this survey so we can start identifying by region, by position, by years of experience, by education, what the salaries are there. So people can start seeing what's around and comparing. But then we realize, okay, we can do this. We received so far like 700 responses.
Wow.
But now we're working into phase two where we want actually to include men so we can compare apple to apple. We all know that we in this industry, we all earn about 16% less than men. That's well known by other surveys, by the industry, but we don't know exactly how much and depending on the positions, what the difference is. So we want to open the survey to men so we can actually compare apples to apples. And the main idea of this is to open the conversation. Yeah. I don't know why talking about salaries here is such a taboo that nobody wants to talk about that. We need to talk about that because that's very important.
Yes.
Not only for the firms, but for the employees. So
yes,
that's the latest project.
That's amazing. I love it because yeah, I'm a teacher. I'm a musician and a teacher, and there is a discrepancy in my field and many fields. So I agree with that. I like that. I'm gonna have to write that down and bring it into my field. Like
I'm gonna check it out, Graciela, for
sure. Yeah, sure. We'll put that in the link.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I really want to know what is going on next for you, Graciela. What is going to happen next? You've already, you're the chapter president of AIA. You invented the powerful speeches. You're a leading woman. What's next for you?
You know, I don't even know what's next. My life, the way I have lived my life, I don't really plan long term. Like all these opportunities that I have had is because they come to me and I take them right away. I don't even think about things twice. I know I'm finishing this year as a president. I don't know if next year I'm going to do something on a state level. I'm definitely going to continue involvement with AIA. I don't know if I'm going to stay at state level or if I'm going to go on a national level. So on a national level, you can join other committees and other groups, you know. So I don't know what's going to happen. My powerful speeches and my immigrant coalition are going to keep going. So definitely that will grow. But honestly, I don't know what's going to happen.
I like that. I like adventures. That's how in my personality. So you,
Graciela, I feel like we need a part two.
I know. I think we do. We're going to definitely have to bring her back because there's so much more. And maybe when we bring you back, the unknown will be known and we'll be like, hey, remember in the first time you came, you were like, I don't know what's next because I just take it as it comes. And maybe the next meeting will be, and here's what happened.
So, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
That is amazing. Lastly, we really need to know where we can find you on social media, LinkedIn, all these different websites that you're talking about and things like that. Can you give us that for our guests, please? I mean, for our audience.
Yes. So on LinkedIn, you can find me. It's hard to spell. It's Graciela Carrillo.
I'll share it in the link.
Okay. Yeah, because people always misspell my name and last name. It's so complicated.
I learned it Googling you. It's one L in your first name.
Yes.
Two R's and two L's in your last name.
Exactly. And for my name, they put two L's. And then on my last name, they put one R.
Two R's, wrong. Two L's in the last name, one L in the first name.
Yes. So that's that. And same on Facebook. On Instagram, I'm Grace Cole.
Okay.
And on Twitter, the same. I believe I'm Grace Cole NY. and all my websites. We'll put them on the
excellent
on the page.
Thank you so much, Graciela. You have been a pleasure. You're so inspiring for women in architect and design and a leadership person. We were so happy to have you, and it was so nice to meet you. So once again, Graciela Carrillo.
Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @Aya_ArchitectMyLife. That's Aya, A-Y-A, _ArchitectMyLife. And for women firm owners, I invite you to join the Architect My Life private Facebook group. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access podcasts. And if you think you have something to add to the conversation through your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Maybe you're not in a position to share your success story yet. That's okay. Take your business to the next level with our coaching and online courses. Get everything you need at architectmylife.com. Remember, there is a way to manage it all so you can achieve more. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening.